engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins. They go together. Repentance and forgiveness. Repentance, metanoia in Greek, a turning of the mind. We recognize that what we once thought was okay, now we see is not okay. And therefore, what we once embraced, what we once chose, what we once consented to, perhaps consented to multiple times, therefore creating a habit, we now renounce. We separate our will from it. We replace a bad habit with a good habit. We replace a vice with a virtue. This is repentance, the turning away from evil. In the liturgical history of the church, when an adult is baptized, and in the baptismal vows, as you know, we both renounce sin and embrace the faith of the church, people would position themselves differently. In renouncing sin, they would be facing the West. I renounce sin. I renounce Satan. I renounce all his works and promises. And then in embracing Christ and adhering to the faith, they would then turn around. 180-degree turn. Metanoia, changing of the mind, turning of the will, renouncing evil, embracing good. They would turn to the east and say, "Yes, I believe in God the Father. I believe in the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Church." This has got to be our pattern every single day. We are always repenting. We are always struggling to replace virtue, to replace vice, bad habits, with virtue, good habits, to turn our will away from evil. Temptation is a lie, and we all fall into it in one way or another, at all, every day, in one way or another, that something evil looks very good. That's a temptation. It's a lie. So we ask the Holy Spirit to come to enlighten our minds, to show us our sins, and give us the strength to continue journeying to holiness. Now, this applies to every facet of life, brothers and sisters. And it's an arena where we all help one another, as we heard in that first reading. We all help one another to know that we have to turn from evil and embrace good. We help each other to be aware of our sins. We warn people about what is the right way and the wrong way. That doesn't mean we are their ultimate judge. By no means. Because if we're warning other people about their sins, we're also warning ourselves. We know that we are all under the same moral law. Nobody is putting him or herself above anybody else. Only God is the ultimate judge, but God is also the one who reveals the moral law. He judges us, but he also reveals what is right and what is wrong. And that's why we can warn one another. We can tell one another, for example, in the realm of pro-life, that killing a baby is wrong. I mean, nobody should have to tell anybody that, but unfortunately we do, because temptation is a very powerful lie. And the devil is very good at obscuring evil and making it look good. Scripture says the devil even appears as an angel of light at times. So we play a role in helping each other in the body of Christ, encouraging each other to do good, warning each other about sin. And this applies also in the political realm. This applies also in the realm of voting. Because when we're voting, there is a lot of moral content to that. We're choosing our leaders. And as the bishops have written in their document, Living the Gospel of Life, we get the public officials we deserve. Their virtue or lack thereof is a reflection not only on them, but on us, the document says. If we know what is good from what is bad, in a public way, for example, a policy, a law that says that a baby has to be protected from the beginning of that baby's life. You and I need to be protected from the beginning of our lives. And another policy or another kind of law says you can chop the baby's head off or chop her arms or legs off or crush her skull in those first 9 months of life. Can we not tell the difference between a good law and a bad law? Are we truly incapable of knowing that one of those policies is good for the human community and the other one is bad? Let's take another example. 500,000 people who were not supposed to be in our country to begin with here in the United States and are criminals, guilty of attacking other people, murdering other people, raping other people, stealing from other people, causing violence. 500,000 criminals were escorted out of our country under this current administration of President Trump. 20,000 gang members, likewise, taken out of our country. People who threaten the peace and stability of our communities, the safety of our children, the safety of you and me and those we know and love. Good or bad that these people are removed from our midst? They weren't supposed to be here in the first place. Is this something you want or something you don't want? We can tell the difference, brothers and sisters, between a good policy and one that makes sense and a bad policy that makes no sense. To take people, for example, who are of this type of behavior and to let them roam free in our communities, to oppose efforts to find out who they are when they cross into our country from other places, if we don't know who they are or we don't know with what intentions they come among us. For someone to pretend in public life that they can't tell the difference between two kinds of policies like this, brothers and sisters, it's a lie. You and I, in choosing our leaders, have got to apply what these readings tell us about. That we can indeed know the difference between right and wrong, that we can indeed warn other people about the difference between right and wrong. And if we're voting for people who are going to allow things like abortion, if we're voting for people who are going to allow things like the release into our communities of violent criminals, and somehow look down on as evil the good actions of leaders who are trying to protect us from these criminals and protect us from these gangsters, well, brothers and sisters, we then have an obligation to warn the voters. That's our way of stopping these evils, to warn people who are voting that, hey, do you know that that person you're voting to is going to allow things like this? Let's take a third example. people in public office who will say, oh, well, there are some people in our community who do not want to. There are some employers. They're running companies. They're running businesses. And they don't want to include in their health insurance plans access to early forms of abortion. Now, there's two ways to look at that. You can look at that and say, well, they're believing Christians. They have a moral objection to this. They should be allowed to conduct their business in a way that conforms to their faith. If they don't want to offer that in their health insurance, they don't offer it. People can get a different health insurance plan. They can work for a different company. They can get those abortion-inducing drugs elsewhere. It doesn't make those things unavailable to them. They go somewhere else to get them. But at least we allow people to live out their religious beliefs. The other way of looking at that is to say that employer, that religious group, like our ministry, Priests for Life, they're interfering with, they're discriminating against those employees that would want to get those abortion-inducing drugs, and therefore they shouldn't be allowed to do that because that's practicing discrimination. Brothers and sisters, we are able to tell the difference between those two policies. One would permit religious freedom in our country and would not exclude the option of people that want to do those things, even though we teach those things are wrong. The other policy would squelch religious freedom and put citizens in a situation where they have to choose between violating the law and violating their faith and their conscience. These examples that I have given you, all three of them, are three of dozens of other examples of the differences right now between the Republican and Democrat platforms. And we put out, brothers and sisters, all kinds of information as we've been doing all election season long. Voter information, guiding people about the differences between these two parties. It is part of our spiritual journey. It is part of our repentance. It is part of our effort to help each other to walk along the paths of goodness. It is part of our responsibility, not only in our own personal relationship with God, but in our community relationship with God and with one another. It is part of our duty towards the common good, as the church expresses it, the common good, that we point out the differences between these right and wrong policies, and that we educate our fellow voters as to which of these policies they're choosing in their vote. Because a lot of people don't realize it. A lot of people don't know it. A lot of people don't see it. People have not connected the dots to tell them that these are the policies that they are opening the door for by putting into place the people who believe in them. So yes, although some people don't realize it, religion and politics do mix. The church does have something to say about the moral content of our voting choices. Brothers and sisters, let's pray in this Mass for the forgiveness of sins, because there are those who have purposely embraced, willingly consented to, actively promoted policies that destroy the lives of children in the womb. We have people in political office and seeking your vote who actively promote, vigorously defend, advocate, and strategize to expand policies that restrict our religious freedom, that would close down ministries and churches. And we have those who would actively defend the presence of criminal aliens in our midst, fighting against and even trying to call immoral those policies and practices that have protected us from such people in these recent years. This is nothing other than moral evil of which we need to repent. And this is something that all of us have a role to carry out, to enlighten our fellow citizens and to speak and preach from the rooftops for what is indeed of the common good and for the benefit of ourselves, our children, our families, our future. Lord Jesus, send us your Holy Spirit and enable us to see in our own lives and even in our political choices the difference between right and wrong, the path of virtue that you call us to, the path of repentance that we undertake in your Spirit. Send that Spirit now upon us, Lord, especially in these final days of voting. Make our nation of clear mind and strong will in embracing your truth, in embracing the ways of goodness. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful. Kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.